Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings, and welcome to another episode of Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, and today I've got Denise Herman in the studio with me today. We are going to be discussing 2015, the year in animal review. Going to be talking about some internet things, some stuff that was viral, some crazy stuff as well. And I also want to take a moment, I know everyone else is doing this, but seriously, I want to take a moment to just give a moment of acceptance and respect for David Bowie. I've been a huge fan forever. I'm kind of shocked at how much his death has really affected me. And so that being said, I would like to dedicate this show to him. Denise Herman is in the studio with me of Empire of the Dog. Denise, how are you?
Doing well, Celia.
It's always good to see you. I'm glad you're here. Thanks.
I'm glad to be here.
So, we're going to talk about all the weird and wacky that happened last year. Let's start off with Pizza Rat. Any thoughts on this Pizza Rat?
They said it was the quintessential New York City viral video. Like, you couldn't put three more New York City things together. A rat, pizza, and the subway.
That's a good point, you know? And then we just found out some shocking news right before we started the
show. Shocking.
I'm devastated.
Alarming.
I know.
I can't believe it. There's a hoax? There would be a hoax in the works? Who would do such a thing?
It's kind of like finding out that there's no Santa. You know, it was kind of like, I was really
I believed
that.
More in Pizza Rat.
I mean, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Pizza Rat until somebody wrote about Pizza Rat working hard to, like, feed his family. And then I kind of, like, you know, went over to Pizza Rat's side, so.
Well, as an animal lover, you know, I was a big fan of the Rats of Nim. Remember that? I was like, oh, the rats are wonderful.
Yeah, they were pretty cool.
So smart.
They were pretty cool.
So imagining Pizza Rat had a, you know, thriving family somewhere that he was, you know, bringing home the pizza to.
Well, it's a thing. I mean, he was a hardworking guy, you know, and so, like, I think we get some props for the hardworking rats of the subway system, because God knows there's a lot of them.
And to be fair, if somebody made that hoax, you know, in a way, I'm like, more power to you. You are a genius.
No
you,
kidding.
You should have a show.
Seriously.
And I was, you know, I was saying, I know someone who trains rats, and, you know, they're eminently trainable. So none of that's, you know, out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, totally. It's not far-fetched at all. And then I actually had an experience, I think it was at 34th Street at Penn Station, where I got to watch Dorito Rat, who was this rat dragging this gigantic party-sized bag of Cool Ranch Doritos down the track, and somehow got it in this little tiny hole. And so that was a whole level of respect from me for this one, because obviously he's feeding his family again and working hard doing it, so.
You think he saw Pizza Rat's routine, though?
And
that he
have.
Was like a hangers-on?
I don't know. I mean, right? It's like, hey, guys, look at me. I'm Dorito Rat. It's all good. Frito-Lay. Hey. Maybe.
Pizza Rat wasn't copyrighted well.
Sad. He needs a better agent.
So, yeah. So, I was, yeah, we were let down about that. But it still was a big deal.
It really was. And it's funny that something that
ridiculous. Because we were talking. We were like, what happened this year? What was does everybody remember? Animal-wise.
Well, we've got the visits to the cat cafes, which you and I both did.
Yeah, the cat cafe. This year was the year. I'm not an early adopter that way. I didn't get there when it probably first started. And I was in Oakland. Where did you go?
I went in the city. I went to Meow Parlor down in the first one that opened up in New York City. Which one were you at?
I was at, I can't remember what it was. I just know it was Oakland. I think it was called Cat Town. Actually, it was called Cat Town. I think it was called Cat Town, now that I remember. They had artwork up, and they had some, you know, I really do like the swag. I don't even need kittens in my life right now, but the swag was pretty fun.
I was amazed with, like, the design is really good, and, I mean, they're doing a fantastic job adopting all these cats out. So when I first heard about it, honestly, I was a little skeptical about having, like, you know, all these cats in an environment with people that don't necessarily know cats that well, or, you know, all these rescues. It's going great, and I'm really, really happy for them, and had them on the show. So if you want to find out more about them, you can look back and find that episode. But, yeah, they're, like...
Yeah, the cats I saw didn't look stressed, and I was a little concerned about that, and they were really limiting. There weren't that many people in there, and it did not look crowded at all, or, you know, anything. Like, the cats weren't happy, so I was like, all right, good, great.
Yeah, me too, and they had plenty of places to hide, so if they didn't feel it, it wasn't like, you know, a zoo exhibit, which was awesome.
So, yeah, so get yourself to a cat cafe.
Yes.
Are you depressed? That. Go to a cat cafe.
Do that. That was good. It was fun. It was worth it. And so let's talk about the cat circus that sadly you got to go to didn't get to go to because they were sold out.
The cat circus was amazing in that it was just so very not heavily produced, as everything in New York City often is.
Oh, wow.
That it was, you know, kind of this like crazy bus that said it was the Astro Cats. Specifically, you can look up the Astro Cats. I think that your Acro Cats. Sorry, I got it wrong. Acro Cats.
Totally.
It was the Acro Cats. They were really great. And it was in a warehouse at the edge of Bushwick.
Nice.
And we sat on the floor, and there were some seats, you know, with chairs. And there were, like, you know, everyone of every age there. There were kids there having a great time in the front, and a bunch of cats that, you know, misbehaved and also, you know, behaved. They're both at the same time.
Now, they tour, don't they?
Yeah, because I think that we were down in Texas recently. A friend of mine is maybe there right now taking his mom, I think, to see them.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they do tour all over the place. I think they're always fundraising to tour. It doesn't, you would think it might pay better, but it does not, apparently.
Shocking.
There's a lot of fundraising involved with the Acro Cats. But you can look them up and see where they are. And they have some really fun swag as well.
And these are all, like, domestic cats. These are not large cats. These are not cougars or lions or tigers or anything like that. These are domestic rescue cats.
But wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be, you know, it's a whole other thing. And, I mean, as we're talking about circus, just a couple hours ago, apparently Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey are retiring all their elephants and hopefully are going to stop using them forever and ever and ever.
Where are they going to go to, did they say?
They're going to put them in their animal sanctuary. I think it's in Florida. Don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure.
But did they say, this is what I asked you when you told me originally.
I don't know.
Are they not going to get new ones?
The article that I read did not say that in so many words. However, it was kind of assumed because they were talking about all the backlash they've had from animal rights activists and people that have protested the elephants and all the large animals and circuses.
Yeah.
So if any of you guys have done that, I have some dear friends that do it religiously every year. Thank you so much for doing that. That was amazing. And it's really cool to see that, like, you know, if we actually raise a stink and, you know, boycott things that we don't like the circus, there's going to be changes made. And I think it's great that Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey have really looked at this and have realized that they can't continue doing this. And they're willing to make a change. So, you know, for elephants out there, this is huge. Hopefully they'll wipe out the rest of the animals soon, too, and just not have any animal acts at all, except for, like, I'm okay with dog and cat rescue acts as long as nobody's being abused.
And I like acrobatics. You know, there's a lot of touring things. They don't have to be quite as produced again as, like, Cirque du Soleil kind of thing. But they could have that. Like, the Big Apple Circus they have some animals in. I kind of wish there weren't any. I'm very conflicted about it because I like watching it, but I know the cost isn't really
It depends
great.
What it is. I mean, I want to see, like, a troop of trained goats. I think that would be, like,
you don't have to train
awesome.
Them. Just get a tree. Goats and trees. That was a big deal this year, too. Oh, and the Screaming Goats, the Taylor
Love
Swift
Screaming Goats.
I don't know if that was this year, but I am slow on the uptake for these things. So I can't hear that song now anymore without the Screaming Goats. Does everybody hear those in their nightmares? So, like, thank God, like, Silence of the Lambs didn't come out right now because it would have been the Screaming of the Goats.
It's just, the Screaming of the Goats is something that it's so, that sound gets me.
We'll give you that band name. Anyone wants to use Screaming of the Goats, you have our permission.
Fair enough. Oh, and what else happened this year? Actually, it may have happened at the very, very end of 2015. Animal cruelty is now a felony in all 50 states. So this is major, 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 major news. This is something that I'm kind of surprised went through when it did. So nowadays, you know, and this is all thanks to the internet and thanks to people reporting and all this kind of stuff, this is a big deal now. So if people are abusing animals, there's actually going to be actual real repercussions.
Does that mean that the FBI will come in if it's federal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, it's something you don't want to be doing, you know what I mean? And so it's great. It's just giving animals more of a right. And I mean, and I don't remember where it is. I want to say maybe Germany. Correct me if you know. Mm. Where they have just basically listed all animals as being sentient beings.
Interesting.
So now they have rights as well. And so it's a really, really interesting thing. And I think it's a really interesting topic. I don't know enough about it to have a really intellectual conversation on it at this moment.
Yeah, I know people who do. We'll find those people.
Yes, we will have that episode shortly, but not today, sadly. All right, Cecil the Lion.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Oof.
That was interesting because it seemed like pretty much every single person you knew galvanized against this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there were, you know, some people that were like, no, no, big game hunting, great. But pretty much everything on my feed everywhere was vilifying this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, without exception, he was worse than, oh, I said this earlier, he was worse than Amy's Breads, than the Amy's Breads lady that got, you know, some of you guys know Amy's Breads and the Yelp
and
thing that happened
there.
Yeah,
totally.
In the Kitchen Nightmares. And she was, yeah. So this was worse than that as far as the social media thing. It was crazy.
And it shows you, like, what social media does these days of, like, you know, how quickly that spread and the fact that this guy's, you know, everything was known about this guy and his business was taken over and, you know, and all of this. And, like, you know, at the end of the day, it would be really, because at this point, God only knows what happened. You know what I mean? I mean, Cecil the Lion is dead. The dentist shot him. That much we know, you know, and we know that he's actually, the dentist is not guilty. The trackers were, the people that brought him to Cecil, I think, are guilty. They've been tried.
Well, they're law guilty. And then there's the, you know, there's also the thing about just almost, you know, from a lot of people, and I feel this way too, even though I realize, you know, it's a mixed bag. I eat meat and I'm not without, you know, my animal shame. But that, you know, but it was a giant, beautiful lion. Why would you get pleasure killing that?
Yeah.
You know, what does that say about someone who really gets pleasure? I don't know.
It's a weird thing. And I mean, I just saw the other day, actually, I guess Trump's kids hunt. And so one of them killed an elephant and cut its tail off for a trophy. And it's like, why isn't this? I mean, it made the news, obviously, because I saw it. But, like, why isn't this rampant?
I didn't even think that was legal.
It's not, as far as I'm aware.
But
if you have enough money, it is.
Maybe it's the, I don't know. I don't know enough about that. Not my wheelhouse as much, so.
It's a, all I know about, like, the big game hunting is, like, in the areas where it's, you know, quote-unquote allowed, it's because there's too many animals taking over, but, you know, it's bullshit. Basically, we've taken over so much area that we're cramming into these smaller spaces, so what could normally fit, I don't know, 1,000 wildebeest fit now, like, 300.
So it's like the L train.
Yes, exactly.
At rush hour.
Exactly. So then it's like, oh, too many wildebeest, have to kill them. It's like, no, more land, how about that? But I don't know. There is something really twisted about people that it was interesting, too, actually, because I went on to I was just like perusing Facebook when the whole Cecil thing hit and like found these pro hunter pages that were just like, you know, everybody's a wimp, you know, and like you should want to kill these things. And it's just like what it's I don't know.
Yeah, I'm very speechless about this one. All I'm thinking in my head is it's just more men than women. I don't know what that says.
But there are a fair amount of women that do it as well. You know, and I think the one thing, if Cecil, you know, there were things that happened because of Cecil's death. And so there was like some legislation and stuff like that. And you can say, you know, Cecil's death was for naught and all that. But I mean, it's in my book, it's still a complete crime that anyone would shoot any of these things. And there's, I don't know, it's a complicated subject. The one good thing about his death, I suppose, even though I'm cross-talking right now, is the fact that there's a huge awareness now for this kind of hunting.
Yeah.
And so people are more aware of trophy hunters, and hopefully it'll be vilified more. And some airlines aren't flying with trophies
anymore.
Yeah,
that was something that did change for sure. In one of the biggest airlines that flies out of that area where there's the big game hunting, that they stopped doing that, as I remember and understand.
So it's a start.
But the Yelp policies haven't changed at all.
No.
Yelp, you can still do anything. It's total, you know, chaos over there.
Totally. So I want to ask you, because you know about it, tell me about dogs finding dogs.
Oh, that was something interesting that I found out about this year. It certainly wasn't invented this year or anything like that. But I know, because I have a lot of contacts down in Maryland, because I'm from Baltimore, primarily down there. And there's a group down there, and I think there's different groups in different states, and they cover different states. But the one down there that I've heard of is called Dogs Finding Dogs. And if you lose your dog, if your dog runs away, something like that, it's basically a pet tracking service. Or it might be called Dogs Finding Pets, but I think it's called Dogs Finding Dogs. But they can find any land traveling, any land traveling pet. So they can find your ferret. I don't know if they can find your snake, but they can find your ferret or rabbit or cat. As I understand, I certainly can check their website or Google them. But what a great thing to be able to it just, it's amazing to me.
It's a great idea.
It just, you know, yeah. And to be able to have a dog that could do that. I certainly would pay if my dog was lost.
Oh my God, totally.
I wonder if it's easier in the suburbs. You'll have to get them on here. I wonder if it's easier in the suburbs than in the city to track them by scent. Which only brings me to a video I saw a couple weeks ago of a blind pit bull puppy playing fetch.
Oh, God.
And he could find the ball, and it was so wonderful.
Wow.
And I thought, well, yeah, he can, you know, track the scent with his nose. And he's learned to do that because he couldn't see. But yeah, dogs can track amazing things and scent on different things. And when trained to do so, you know, truffles, cadavers, I mean, things like 50 feet under the ground, they can smell.
Wow. So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that, like, if they smell beef stew, what they smell is like, you know, meat, carrots, celery, onions. No, I remember reading it.
That's exactly how I was told the same thing.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, that's how I understand it, too. But I always talk about, because I do some, like, little scenting things, and I always talk about it, like, when you think about scent and how it travels, kind of imagine that there's a pool of water, like a big swimming pool, and you drop an inkwell somewhere in it.
Okay.
Like in a corner or this or that. The dogs sort of seem to smell things a little bit by the dilution and as they're getting closer and which way, you know, the wind versus, like,
right,
if there's a pool, the water's moving and the scent carries and that sort of thing. And you can watch a dog's, my dog used to scent track things very well. And you can watch them kind of traversing the landscape, you know, up, down, back, forth, however it is they've learned to do it.
Cool.
To locate the thing, whatever it is. And as I understand it, they do better when trained to find one particular type of scent or scent. So, like, drug-sniffing dogs only sniff drugs.
Yeah.
Bomb-sniffing dogs only sniff bombs. And they have those runner beagles. Did you see the video this year?
The runner beagles
the airport that they return the things. That's not in our country. Where was that? Like,
I think it's in the UK. But, I mean, if I was on that, I think it's on Virgin Airways, I would so leave stuff on the plane.
Yeah.
I would totally leave stuff on the plane.
How are people going to see this? You have to Google airport running beagles.
Yeah, it's like it was a commercial for either Virgin or JetBlue. I think it's Virgin. And basically, if you leave something on the plane, they give it to the dog and the dog scents it and then tears down the airport and finds you and gives it back
to you. I didn't even know. I'm kind of an idiot, apparently, because I was like, well, do they get him to the right person? I didn't realize that it was a whole scenting thing as well. I was just like, they're amazing beagles that, like, take it to the lost
and
found.
Psychic.
I mean, I thought they took it to the lost and found. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know what? It's a commercial, so God only knows. I mean, the dog might take your cell phone and, you know, be charging down the aisle and then get cross-scented and run into a bathroom or something and, you know, dump it in the toilet or something awesome like that. So I want to see it in action, but I would be willing to, like, leave something on the plane for that.
Yeah.
All right. So for that being said, we need to take some quick time for station identification. Talking to Denise Herman of Empire and the Dog. We'll be back shortly.
Hello out there, it's Steve Jenkins, I'm with Fairway Markets. White Leghorn, Red Wattle, Bourbon Red, Navajo Churro. Well, these aren't names you're likely to hear at a Fairway butcher counter or any other counter today, but before the rise of factory farming, you would have. And at Heritage Foods USA, you still do. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. You see, we believe the best way to help a family farmer is to buy from them. And Heritage Foods is honored to represent a network of family farmers and artisanal producers whose work presents an immeasurable gift to our food system and to biodiversity. The meat we celebrate, whether it's heritage turkey, Japanese steaks, Berkshire pork, or Navajo churro lamb chops, is the righteous kind from healthy animals of sound genetics that have been treated humanely and allowed to pursue their natural instincts. It's a simple fact. Animals raised according to this philosophy taste better. And as we like to say, you have to eat them to save them. Visit us at heritagefoodsusa.com for more information.
And we are back, talking to Denise Herman of Empire of the Dog, basically about stuff that we dug in 2015 regarding animals, if you know. So
it's kitchen sink of shows.
We got
right
all
now.
Kinds of stuff going on right now. I think that we need to talk about, I think it was the number two viral video for animals of the year, which I got to admit kind of pissed me off. People scaring cats with cucumbers.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings
I'm
about
kinda not
that
impressed with
one.
This.
It's kind of like the video also where the kids are falling on the ice and the dad's laughing from the car. Do you know that one? Yeah, it's kind of that version of it, except this is a setup. It'd be like pouring like water on the pavement and watching people slip. Except they were terrified the water was going to eat them. Because I think it's a kind of, you know, it's like, I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's called like, you know, a pre-prepared learning or something that it represents as, you know, a snake or something like that. And that's why they're alerting to it drastically. It's not like it's a loaf of bread. You know, it looks like, I think that's why, you know, people have talked about it. And I think that's why they react so, spontaneously horrified.
That's what I saw too. It's like snake, but like, you know, not cool, man. I don't think that's, you know. And then the thing about this is like, you know, a lot of cats get pissed and they're like revenge seekers. So like, okay, you do this, cat pees on your pillow. Hey, who wins?
Yeah,
you
know? That is that cucumber video really worth it?
Seriously,
I don't know. I feel like kind of a downer saying it though. I feel like I'm like but I am like it's alarming.
I would not be impressed. I mean, honestly.
I wouldn't do it to my dog.
I wouldn't do it to my dog.
You know, I would be like, I don't want to scare you. But then I'm like, well, maybe cats are more resilient than dogs.
Yeah, but cats get pissed. And dogs are like, okay, I'm sorry, that's funny. Cats are like, fuck you. You know?
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't think you can rely on the dog to necessarily have a consistent reaction. Like, some are just going to be like, what, if there was something, you know, that you could get that same kind of reaction for across the board, that still some of them would be like, I don't know.
But that's the thing, too, though. It's really interesting that, I mean, I haven't tried this. I don't recommend trying this, but it seems like all cats flip out. And it's obviously, it's the shape, you know?
Yeah, but we did see it wouldn't have been fun if the video, if some of them didn't freak out. I'm assuming that most of them did, but maybe that's a wrong assumption.
That's true.
You clearly didn't try it, nor am I.
Hell no, I'm not doing that. I mean, my cat's like the one cat that'll get the most freaked out. She'll remember and torture me in my sleep. So I'm not going to risk my safety or my face for this. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Too much of a whim. All right, so two thumbs down for the scaring the hell out of your cat with cucumbers. We are not.
Yeah, unless you know you want some facial reconstruction surgery later that week, which could clearly happen. You know,
seriously.
Or you really like the smell of urine in your house.
Also fun to try to get rid of. So Denise has an obsession with Instagram. She's totally into it.
Oh my god,
I know, you really do.
It's terrible. You know, I have a line of greeting cards too that I started with my photos from Instagram that have been selling really well. I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome.
Well, I miss making art. I used to be a photographer, as you know, and have a degree in art, which has only helped me moderately run my business.
but your design is awesome.
Thank you. You're very sweet. I do love Instagram, though. I have three different accounts. I have my Empire of the Dog account and my dog now. I'm one of those, but we don't go places and really promote him. Although we did, ironically.
Today we did.
Yeah, ironically, I had a photo shoot today. Who is also on Instagram. He's at the Photography Guru. Hefner, my dog, his Instagram account is ladies_love_Hefner. Yeah, I know. It's insane. And then the Empire of the Dog, and then I have one that's Empress Denise.
It's a pretty awesome page. And then Animal Instinct now has one, which is Animal Instinct Radio. So you can find us on Instagram, too. But who are your favorite people to follow? Who do you love on Instagram?
I'm pretty obsessed with at least a handful of different accounts. But the one I always think of, like, I'm like I should be on the payroll. Because every time I get a pug in class, I'm like, have you seen Dark Lord Pug on Instagram? You have to see Dark Lord Pug on Instagram. Dark Lord Pug. And it's like I have Tourette's. And it's at Dark Lord Pug. And they just make the most awesome parody and satirical pug related stuff. They have like one that's like the Jaws graphic, but it says pugs and it's just pug's head coming up, and they have like Sam Hain pug and like Ozzy Osbourne pugs, and they just made like a Star Pugs, and it's like the Starbucks logo but with a pug, and looks just like that. So I love Dark Lord Pug obsessively. It's just really creative. I like this Chihuahua in Japan named, I don't even know how to say it, Montjiro, but it's like Montjiro, and he is in like gobs of different handmade clothing, posing around, looking very, very human.
He's fancy.
He's amazing. He has like little like newsboy hats and like knit things, and like serves like little tiny Chihuahua sized martinis to I don't know who, but he's at a little like dog sized bar serving martinis.
Amazing.
It's pretty amazing. And then I like Bean Goods. There's another place called Bean Goods, and it's like B-E-A-N. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's B-E-A-N Goods. And they're all dachshund. Well, they started as dachshund related stuff. And they had like a shirt that said, wiener dogs are my spirit animal, and they have like a Chanel logo, but the C's were curved and either ends was the ends of like a wiener dog. So it's like the nose at one end and the legs at another end. And they're just pretty funny, and they make good stuff too. And I think I like, there's one called Boring Stormtrooper, which is like a stormtrooper doing, and I think it might be one of my clients' friends or partners. I don't know, but it's, there's not a whole lot on it, but it's like so great when there is. It's like a stormtrooper doing laundry or something like that. And so I really like that one as well. But I'm definitely obsessed. If anyone has a great Instagram, tag me in it or find me and follow me, and I will follow back and act obsessively weird about
your stuff. Yeah, same here too, because I'm definitely, it's a new page, so we're looking for fans and things like that. So I want to talk about this before we run out of time, because this was really hilarious. So we were going doing research earlier, looking for what we were going to talk about today, because, you know, there's a lot of news in 365 days. I don't know if this was created last year. I think it was. We were talking about dating sites, and apparently there's one called Date My Pet. And I got to tell you, I started to look at it, and then just the name and all of it just kind of freaked me out. And I was like, I really can't do this.
Well, I was confused when you started. You said it was like a dating site. I know you said for pets or for people with pets, but that's where I'm very confused too. Am I finding a date for my dog and your dog, or for the person and the other person with the dog? Or you were like the worst. You were like, no, I don't want people dating my pet. It sounds like the person's going to date the pet, and that's weird. And and since dogs can't read, I assume it's weird when it says date my pet. And no offense to the date my pet people.
Yeah, it's all, I mean, great idea.
But I'm confused by it. You read the thing better. Like, date my pet is, well, my dog can't read. Am I finding him the date? What's happening?
But like, what's the profile picture? Is it your pet or is it you? What, like, that's the thing. And I don't like the whole date my pet. It just kind of was a little creepy. I mean, I think it's a great idea if you're an animal lover, to find other animal lovers to date. I don't really have a problem.
I think
with
it's
that.
Absolutely not. I don't want someone with their own pets dating me. I want to have the only pets. You can like pets, but you shouldn't have any.
Fair
because,
enough.
Because I don't want to have to deal with both our pets. Plus, that's too much navigation.
That's true.
Isn't that terrible?
Gotta walk your dog, gotta walk their dog.
I have a terrible attitude that way. No. No. I'm like, if you have a big dog, I have a little dog. This isn't going to go well.
You're really, it's just not going to work.
That's not exactly true. But let's say you have a badger or you have a parakeet. It's like, no, I have a little dog or... They might not mix.
You never know. Well, and my new thing now is I'm totally obsessed with chameleons after seeing that video of the chameleon popping the bubbles.
Oh, my God. I really, when you see this, and I couldn't believe, I was like, this is going to be a boring video of a chameleon. All right, Celia, I'll watch it. And then she shows me this thing. He's got these little, like, what look like tiny hands, and they're coming up, but they're like little two or three pronged little toes, and he's trying to pop the balloons. And I literally was like, he looks so much like a tiny little, you know, it's like when you wish that pixies existed when you were a kid.
Totally.
Like, this is like the Chronicles of Narnia. Like, there's this little tiny green human, and he's popping bubbles. And then I said to you, I think that this could actually qualify as an emotional support animal at this point.
Totally.
Because it seemed like a really engaging pet.
And you know what? That's something that's happened in the past year is the rise of therapy animals.
Well, the rise of, you know, is it real or is it not? Or I just saw a photo yesterday someone posted on, like, the... Tumblr of someone's, no offense again, but someone's emotional support turkey on a plane.
Turkey?
Yeah, a turkey. Like, not like a turkey sandwich. No, a live turkey.
Can you imagine, that would be who I'd sit next to.
Well, that's the thing. It was like in the seat. I don't think you're allowed to do that, but I think, you know, again, I always just assume these things are staged, and I take everything with a grain of salt and go, I am doing what I'm supposed to, which is probably like giggle a little bit at this, and then I'm going to forget about it.
How do you fit that thing under the seat? Turkeys are huge.
That's why you just don't know true. I mean, then people were joking. They were like, oh, it's my emotional support mosquito. And here's my emotional, like, I don't know. And again, emotional support animals are a big deal for the people that need them.
Yep.
It's a big deal. And
they're going to have to start, like, getting specific with what animals can be used as that, too, then.
I don't know if they can. I don't know that that's actually reasonable, either.
Emotional support wildebeest. You know.
Well, you know, I mean, I think there's going to have to be logistics.
I should hope so. And there will be, because there always are. Dilly the deer. I don't know if you know about Dilly. I had her on my show. Dilly's awesome.
You had a deer in the studio right here?
She's shy.
In the restaurant?
She couldn't come. Unfortunately, she's not allowed in the studio.
Does she even live in New York?
No, she doesn't.
Does she have a jet?
She's a deer that was born in the wild.
Oh, she's a binary. Is she the albino one?
No, she's the cataracts one who has lives inside and has her own bedroom and has her own like TV channel and there's a book about her. She's pretty amazing.
I had no idea.
She's pretty amazing.
I am a hobbit, as you know. I can go out.
Dilly is a cute. I don't want to say she's a white-tailed deer, but I'm probably wrong. I hate to say who's born with cataracts, and this vet took her in, and basically Dilly's become part of the family and has her own bedroom and sleeps on her bed and has fine sheets and stuffed animals. And there's a cam video that watches her all the time.
Is she house-trained? Can you house-train a deer?
Yeah, she is.
Wow.
It's a pretty amazing, actually.
Is she a full-size deer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's cool. It's dillythedeer.com. I had her on the show as well, which was really fun. It was a fun interview. And Dilly's got...
What did she say to you?
She was talking... Well, her mom was basically telling me about everything that happened and how they got her. And Dilly has created this community all over the world of all these people that are like really into Dilly and, you know, keep an eye on her and kind of... It's helped the family as well because... the vet who took her in, who's, you know, basically her mama, has been really, really ill with cancer. And so it's created this huge community of people that have been supporting them and helping them out. And it's kind of amazing. There's a book that just came out probably about 2 months ago, Dilly the Deer. Pick it up. It's a good
read.
See,
there is a whole posse of these social media animals. Because there's Dilly the Deer. You know, has she met Little Bub? Has she met Tuna Melts My Heart?
Good question.
She met the, well, there's the Grumpy Cat. Probably not, because I guess Grumpy Cat doesn't like anyone.
The Grumpy Cat goes out, though. I mean, he's done a couple of Brooklyn appearances.
Ah.
And so is Little Bub, apparently.
I love Little Bub.
Little Bub is amazing. And I love the fact that, like, enough people know about Little Bub that it's like, Little Bub, yeah!
Little Bub has a sweet little story.
Mm-hmm.
He has a sweet little story of, like, how his dad got him and he couldn't walk and he had some sort of thing and he's kind of helped him be able to be a cat that can walk. Like, he was really not doing well at all. He was really had some sort of physical problems.
Well,
I don't know what the names of those physical problems were. Right? I didn't read that deep. I don't remember. But it's some, you know, story of overcoming adversity. The story of Lil Bub.
Aww.
So.
All right, so we are close to out of time. What was?
And we talked about nothing.
Favorite animal story?
We talked about nothing.
I know,
important.
Right?
It's we got like through the whole reviews. Thing and didn't talk about anything that's going to change the world.
It's not going to change the world, but at least it was some stuff that was pretty entertaining. And I don't know. I mean, it was an interesting year in viral animal stuff, to say the least. You know, there was some really great stuff, and there was some ridiculous stuff.
It's only going to get weirder this year, I'm sure. Every year will be weirder than the year before.
Well,
I think so.
I think you're right. Well, then we have to do this next year, too. We'll see you back here
in
January.
We should do it every time.
The year in review.
Look, I don't think it could have got weirder than that, and yet it did.
Right. So, that being said, as always, thank you so much for coming on the show. Give everybody all your deets so they can find you if they need a trainer.
I'm Denise Herman. I operate known Empire of the Dog in Brooklyn, New York, and sometimes in Baltimore, if you can talk me into it, because I'm down there, and I'm there part-time as well. And EmpireOfTheDog.com, Empire of the Dog on Instagram, Empire of the Dog on Twitter, Empire of the Dog everywhere, world domination through positive reinforcement.
There you go. And you guys know me, Animal Instinct on Facebook, Food Healer on Twitter, and on Instagram, Animal Instinct Radio. I'll be back next week with a brand new show. Thank you guys for listening and subscribe.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.